Welcome to iHeart Geek.
And welcome to another episode of iHeart Geek, the Sunday night editions. Oh, this is fun. We are going to be discussing episode 1 and 2 of WandaVision. We have a lot to talk about. Let me introduce our crew real quick. I am Dub and I do things. And then we have Miss Courtney, who is our Scarlet Witch expert.
Hi, guys.
And we have Satomi, who's our everything expert. And then we have Chris, who's along for the ride today.
Yay!
But I have this feeling that he's going to do all the homework and probably know more than the rest of us by the end of this series.
It's a distinct possibility.
Yep.
Okay, so let's discuss WandaVision.
WandaVision. So I guess the first thing I want to just talk to everybody about is, obviously, these are a send-up of classic TV shows. Did everybody notice that? How did we feel about that?
Perfect. I was so happy with this. Even they even got the black and white right. Because a lot of these, when they make the new episodes, it's shot to look like black and white and not like it's trying to be color. And that's what they were trying to do with the old black and white. They tried to be color, and that's what they did with this, and it was perfect. Dick Van Dyke and Bewitched, I believe, was the first one.
Yep, the first one was Dick Van Dyke, so and the second was Bewitched. And in fact, they even got Dick Van Dyke to come in as a consultant for the first two episodes.
And so, didn't he not know how big a deal Marvel was? He was like, sure, or in his Dick Van Dyke way, yeah, sure, I'll do this. Why not?
Yep.
Help out the little guys.
How are you that out of touch with reality?
He's Dick Van Dyke.
He's been around forever.
He's earned it, I guess.
He's earned it. And for his performances in Night at the Museum and Mary Poppins Returns, not even including his massive history of performance.
He's already
firmly ensconced in modern consciousness.
He's great.
So Chris, as someone who's not involved in the Marvel universe at all, what was your first thought on just kind of the way these shows looked and felt?
So thank you for mentioning that.
No.
I was just about to say, full disclosure, I'm coming into this as watching it as a show rather than like knowing what comic it's from. So in that respect, I absolutely loved the fact that each episode had its own distinct look and feel, and it felt authentic, like it was taken right, like this could have been any show from the 1950s or 60s in either episode. Like everything from how they framed the shot to the camera angles to like the costuming, it was perfect. And it's one of the things that got me hooked and invested as someone who isn't a huge, MCU guy. Like I'm going to watch the show all the way through now because I want to see what they do.
Well, I think I really want to hit on this with you saying that, you know, if the MCU, this honestly has less to do with, I think, the MCU than anything that we've seen yet. This is all comic book. I think this is definitely a risk they're taking. Courtney, you want to talk about that?
From one thing I will say is this actually wasn't supposed to be the first that was supposed to come out of the gate. Marvel wanted to start the next phase of stuff with Black Widow, which didn't happen. So it was kind of still riding the crest. And then they were going to ease us into WandaVision, which is, like Dub said, it's very different than anything we've seen in the Marvel Universe because it's really ensconced in the comic book world. Now, I don't think as Chris is enjoying himself and he's not familiar with all the little nuances of the comics that are involved in this show,
which will be important to the conversation later.
But it does appeal. It does appeal to both sides of the fence on that. Then, like for me, it takes on a whole new meaning because I caught most of the little Easter eggs from the comic book series. And this is, I think we quantified it probably about 85, 95% of this is the House of M series in the comics. I think that's probably where they're pulling a lot of this from.
And I think so you can get the whole graphic novel on Comixology for, I think, $20 if you're really like into this.
Episode. It's only like 10 issues, I think.
But it's deep.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. You could probably survive without reading The House of M if you didn't want to. You will miss some stuff, though. It'll be obvious. But like with any, I think with any MCU property, you could just wing it if you wanted to.
You know, I think that's a pretty important part of discussion.
Well, okay. Wouldn't they have to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To read it? Or not
really. I know. No, I mean, wouldn't the producers have had in mind? I'm so sorry, Dub. I didn't realize that you were going to continue talking until I started talking. but I mean, just if I were a producer, it would just make good business sense to create something that would give a nod to the people who are familiar with the graphic novel, which I am looking forward to reading, and to the people who. Like Chris, who are not into the MCU at all, or like me, I'm mainly MCU, and the comic books I've, you know, touched a toe in either way, you know, in mm-hmm. here and there. So, you know, for me, I feel like I'm sort of in the perfect place because I can kind of dig at both and mm-hmm. then have the joy of discovering, you know, all that background that Courtney and Dub, that you guys are filling us in on. So continue your thought, Dub.
Well, this is, I think, the dangerous ground that they're treading on. And it's a little scary because we're going to try to avoid Mandalorian comparisons. But that was
the biggest, already yelled at him for that.
But that was the biggest thing that just came out. And I think it's an important, that this comparison is very important. The Mandalorian, you can watch. And you can watch the whole thing with your kids and they can have not seen anything with Star Wars. If you have seen some of the other stuff, you get the Easter eggs and that enhances your experience a lot, but you don't have to know any of it. You don't have to know thing one. With this, and Chris and Satomi will learn this more as we're going, you don't get 99% of what's going on. I don't think that most people are going to understand what's going on. I think it's a dangerous line. And I hope I'm wrong on this, and I hope they can pull it back. But all these Easter eggs, it's told an entirely different story.
Yeah.
And not enhancing the experience, it's just, it is the experience.
I think they'll give that information up, though,
as
the series goes on.
As someone who has seen, like, a handful of the Avengers movies, like, I recognized Wanda and Vision from previous Avengers movies, but I also kind of like the fact, as someone who's completely oblivious, who needs an idiot's guide to the MCU timeline, mm-hmm. I kind of like the fact how they kind of went into off the back shelf into the deep cut, because, you know, they're giving some characters who you normally wouldn't see some screen time, which mm-hmm. I'm all for, because, you know, after, you know, 700,000 Avengers movies, you kind of know what's going to happen. There's a little bit of predictability, and if you've read the comics, you know, you expect a mm-hmm. certain it to go a certain way. Mm-hmm. As someone who's just coming into it fresh, I'm open to, you know, seeing a lesser known character, because, you know, it might get someone like me to invest more time mm-hmm. into the grand scheme of things.
True. It could end up being a gateway for some people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, especially because it's tapping into that nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is my one hope with you saying that. I've always had this thing. I'm like, why aren't the movies and all this fantastic stuff, why isn't it leading back to people reading the comics again? Because it hasn't comic book sales have gone down for the last 15 or 20 years since this all happened.
Why
isn't it making more? This, now I can see this, if this is a ploy to get people to read the comic, I just think it needs to be spelled a little bit more so that you know which comic. Because, Courtney, do you want to talk about why we know this is from House of M?
There's a couple, well,
the big one.
Yeah. I mean, bottle,
yeah.
The wine bottle. There's a bunch of Easter eggs in different items throughout both episodes. But the one thing that strikes is in the dinner scene in the first episode where Wanda makes the food fly in and you see the wine bottle come in and the wine pours and there's a close-up on the wine bottle. Well, the wine bottle, and pardon my French because I don't speak French,
is... I thought you were going to say something bad.
Well, I might, but its name is Maison de Maperey. I don't know, but that translates to House of Contempt, but it's also House of M. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty much just giving you, okay, we're going to go from House of M. But House of M is also this reality-bending series of books anyway. So it's a good place for, that's really the blinky light that said, hey guys, we're going to do House of M in here. And yeah.
Now before we actually get into the show itself, we've kind of talked about kind of what the ins and outs are. Do we want to talk about real, just kind of a quick overview of what you're going to be expecting with House of M? Courtney, it's this. I'll give you the call.
Spoilering. I'm not spoiling.
I don't think it's spoilery.
It's up to you. I'm not doing it. So,
okay.
I think people,
you can find it online.
Well, because I honestly think Marvel Entertainment is going to give you everything you need as we go along the episodes.
I hope.
To explain. I mean, some stuff they'll leave out, but I think. If you're not familiar with House of M, one, go read it if you want to. It's out there. But two, if you're not familiar, I think they're going to give you everything you need. It just might take all 9 episodes to get there.
Which is the other thing. This is, I am so anti-binge putting out episodes of anything. This frightens me a little bit because I kind of want this to be bingey because they are moving kind of slow. Just my opinion. I don't know if you guys are feeling the same, but I think they released 1 and 2 at the same time because it would be very hard to retain an audience all the way to the third week with it being as slow. I think in the third week, I think it's going to move faster. Just hoping. But so far, I'm kind of wishing it was a binge show.
I kind of like how they're releasing it 1 at a time or 2 at a time.
I always prefer that, but yeah.
You know, there's certain shows like that are binge worthy, but with a property such as Marvel, I can see why they would want to like just leave a trail of breadcrumbs and make you become invested. Like I said earlier, you know, having watched both of these episodes, I'm invested to see what happens at the end of the story because they set it up in such like, it's like they hooked me in such a way where it's just like, I want to like, we'll touch into it when we talk about the episodes, but it's like, I want to know what happens. So yeah. I think it's a good thing that they're like leaving little breadcrumbs to, you know?
Yeah. So
it's part of that intrigue that gets people interested in a show. I know it definitely did for me. So I'm enjoying that ride of, you know, have everything's humming along fine and having these little bits of mystery, these little teases. And I think Dub, you're right. I think it's going to kick in starting the next episode and will snowball.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping happens. So Courtney, want to lead us on the path to the episode 1 and 2?
I say let's dig right on in to episode 1 and 2. What's going on? I guess the main question we could ask is, what do you guys think? Is Wanda doing this herself? Is someone helping her along? Is it a mixture of the two? I think she's doing it herself, but I also think she's being observed. And there's lots of clues, but how much those two factions that are observing her are controlling anything would be very interesting to see. But we know she has some medium of control because she resets things in the end of the second episode. So let's go ahead and I guess we'll just jump right in. I think the best way to approach it, and correct me if you guys don't want to do this, but I say for 1 and 2, we should count as just one big episode.
It is one episode.
So what do you guys think? What's going on? And is she doing it herself? Is it S.W.O.R.D.?
I'd like you to tell me, Chris, first. Actually, do you want to explain what, for all our newer listeners, do you want to explain what S.W.O.R.D. is?
Sure. S.W.O.R.D., which is the the circle with the sword emblem that we see throughout a couple of different constant things stands for, I don't remember what the,
it's bigger shield. It's shield.
Yeah. It's the counterterrorism and sentient being version of arm of shield.
Yeah.
So, and that'll play into my theory with the helicopter in a little bit.
See, when I knowing virtually nothing, when I saw that logo pop up a bunch of times, I'm like, is that shield? But
it's not.
But it looked different. Yeah. Like, I've seen it once or twice before. I'm like, that looks different. So mm-hmm. I'm glad to know it's part of that now.
Mm-hmm.
But I, I think, because the question that they keep asking in the two episodes is, who is doing this to you and why are they doing this to you?
Which is so cool when you hear that at the end.
Yeah.
I love that.
So I think Wanda and Vision are trapped in some alternate reality that somehow they're able to jump from time to decade to decade. So I think they're trapped by something or someone.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong.
What about you, Satomi? What do you think?
Well, I mean, taking a look at the credits that roll at the end, there's everything's kind of pixelated when you look there. So to mm-hmm. me, that tells me they're in some kind of virtual reality situation. As far as who's doing it, I think it's probably Wanda manipulated by someone. And of course, along with the sword emblem, which I was not familiar with, so thank you so much for explaining that. But of course, then we have the Hydra moment, which was amazing. Yes. And honestly, what got me with the helicopter was the first thing I said was that's Stark colors. That's Iron Man colors.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. And then of course the Stark commercials. Mm-hmm. The fact is, I don't know, and I'm sort of enjoying the ride to get there.
Trying to figure it out.
I'm not going, because I have read and I kind of know what's going on. I don't want to give too much. So I'm not trying to not give information, but I don't want to give information that we don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
However, what I thought was really interesting is the toaster. Do you guys know what was interesting about the toaster? If you watch the Avengers movie, the country that Wanda and Quicksilver are from, that was the name of the toaster.
Sokovia?
Was on the toaster?
That was the name of the toaster.
I missed that entirely.
The toaster's from Stark Industries.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that.
What you can infer from that, what I think about the commercials, and I'll see what everybody thinks, the commercials are traumatic things that happened in Wanda's life.
Mm-hmm.
The toaster is the bomb that blew up her parents.
Because it was a Stark bomb. Everything was burning.
Yeah, but it's a Stark bomb, and it has a blinking light that goes faster, faster, faster over the course of the commercial.
Color.
Yeah. So I think that, and then the second one, there's the Strucker watch with the Hydra logo. Well, Strucker's the one that turned Pietro and Wanda into Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. So I think every commercial is going to be some sort of tie-in to some sort of traumatic event in Wanda's life.
Okay, I don't know that this is a fact, but this just clicked in my head. Every time you see color in this, is a real traumatic event. Everything that you've seen, like the flashing red light, that's a traumatic event. The helicopter, and I know which one, I know what it is now, but again, I don't know if I can talk about it.
I have a theory, and it's probably not the same one that you have.
But everything that you see with color, the blood that comes out of
Dottie's
hand, that's a traumatic event. Every time you see color, it's a traumatic event.
Mm-hmm.
Another fun thing that has nothing to do with color, what I loved is on the magic box. Did you notice what the painting was on there?
Chris, for our newer people? Lost.
No, I'm in my mind has been blown so many times in the last 2 minutes. I'm just like, like with my limited knowledge, I'm like, okay, this makes sense. And I can see like I'm loving this right now. So I'm just absorbing as much.
I'm enjoying your face.
Yeah, I am too.
Because it's
the Mind Stone.
It's so good. Yes, the Mind Stone.
It was the Mind Stone, which is what Vision had.
It's on his tie too. It's on his tie too.
In the first episode, the work tie. And it was also on the work tie, which I think is really interesting. If you go back, and this is, again, this is why you read comics, kids. Vision had a series that he had a family in the, I think, late 80s, early 90s. He had a series that he had a family and had a job and kind of tried to live a real life. That tie was the same design he had in that series. So nice. It's when he's seeing that he has a family, he has a normal life. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Well,
I don't mean to take us off the rails. I apologize.
I don't want to derail everybody too, but I have to say the first line that they speak, he gets hit in the head with a plate, and he says, "My wife with flying saucers," and she says, "My husband with the indestructible head."
Dum 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 dum.
Well, how dark is that? Because you know he literally got his head
blown off.
The Mind Stone ripped out of his head. Yeah. I'm like, that's really dark to start the series with. I kind of like it. Now, it's a little David Lynchy.
And going back, if you don't have people that you can talk about this stuff with, that's my problem with the series.
Hit us up on Facebook if you need to.
Well, no, we will totally talk about this. But I think there's going to be so many people lost. I want kids to be able to watch this and get it. And I wish they could dumb it just a little bit down.
I'm not sure.
But as a comic book geek, I am so happy with this, though, because I know what's going on and y'all don't. Yay. I feel like the jerks, the jerks during Game of Thrones. I read the book, so I know what's going to happen.
That was me. I'm sorry.
But you know what's funny, though, is because of all this, I'm actually looking forward to watching it, mm-hmm. discovering it as it is, then reading the comic and going back and watching it again and being able to go, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Yeah. So that's something that is relishable.
Yeah.
So don't feel too sorry for us.
And I do want to go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say ditto everything Satomi said.
And I do want to say this. Careful where you're getting all your Easter eggs from and the conspiracies from.
There's some very
reputable news organizations that are getting things completely and totally mm-hmm. wrong. Figure it out for yourselves before you look everywhere online, because there's probably about 40% of stuff is wrong.
Yeah, not to say don't look at the Easter egg articles.
Enjoy
those
it,
are but... fun. But I've noticed that there's some stuff that are like, where did you pull that from?
And we're not 100% on all of this.
No.
But don't take it too much as fact. It helps, but definitely be in there for your own discovery on it.
Mm-hmm. So what about that helicopter?
What do you think?
I want to hear everybody's theory and then I will do my theory. So tell me, Chris.
I mean, a drone.
Now that you know.
sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Chris.
No, that was it.
Oh, are we talking about? Are we talking about the colored helicopter? The colored helicopter. As soon as I saw that, I'm like, they're pulling a Schindler's List with this being like the only thing that's in. Because the whole movie's. Hold on. Not like that, because you know, for those of you who haven't seen Schindler's List, the whole movie's in black and white except for the girl in the red coat or the red dress. So that's what I related it to, but I had no idea. Until you said it a few minutes ago that it was Iron Man colors, like I just thought, okay, it's a random red and yellow helicopter with the sword mm-hmm. logo on it. And I'm like, okay, why is this the first thing I said is, why is this important? Cause I don't know.
Well, it has to be.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we'll find out, but it definitely sent up a red flag. I'm like, I should pay attention.
And it should. Yeah. And that they did actually a pretty good job about that. They like, you know, that this is important. You may not know why, but you know, the red and yellow Iron Man brother dying while flying down.
That's your theory. That's not my
theory. My theory. Okay. Let's hear yours.
Okay. So I'm going to do a little deep dive, guys. You ready?
Fire away.
Let's do it.
All right. So first thing you guys need to know is in the trailer for this whole thing, we see a helicopter flying into a glowing orb, and then it just disappears. The other thing we need to know is that Geraldine, the lady that they use as the assistant in the magic show, that is actually Monica Rambeau, as in Maria Rambeau from Captain Marvel's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She works for S.W.O.R.D. She's a pilot. She's also known as the superhero Spectrum. My bet is she was piloting that thing because she shows up and doesn't remember who she is until after. Because when Wanda asks her, "Hi, I'm Wanda," she goes, "I'm Geraldine," because she can't remember what her name is. I think she was sent in by S.W.O.R.D. to try to get through to Wanda. I think she crashed, and now she's part of Wanda's delusion.
I'm going to give you a little bit more on that to give some credence to your theory. When she's in the magic box, when she's in the magic box, well, how'd you get here? Well, I was back there, and then I'm here.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
Just my theory. I could be completely wrong.
I'm giving you a little credence to your theory. That's awesome.
Just saying.
And everybody in this show.
I'm Ludacris is mine.
Yes.
Just so you know, everybody in this show is somebody else. Everybody. Yeah. Not
every
one character
you meet is someone else.
And I'm not going to tell you because I know what it is. And I don't think Courtney should answer this either. But do you guys, what do you think the heart is?
Well, didn't they say in the first episode it was for the dinner with the hearts?
Mr.
or Mrs. Hart. But I'm thinking it has a larger significance. So if anything, the only thing that comes to my mind is something with Tony Stark's heart in Iron Man, because I know he has the crystal thing. Sorry if I'm offending.
No,
nope.
Not at all.
Because that's where like the piece of shrapnel like hits him and then he becomes, yeah. That's my theory. I'm probably wrong.
So Tomi, do you have a theory on it?
So my theory is I have absolutely no theory on that one.
There's nothing wrong with that. I think you should be able to enjoy it without having to figure every freaking thing out. And Courtney, I don't think either of us should answer this because
I'm not going to answer it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not fair. As we're trying not to skip too far ahead. Can I give everybody on this panel a assignment? Go online and look up Scarlet Witch's powers and what they really are.
What she can do.
By next week. And that's going to help you learn so much about this show.
Yeah.
And then we'll hit that next week because I don't want to hit it this week because we're steamrolling.
There's so much. And I mean, we haven't even talked about the beekeeper.
Was creepy as heck and fantastic.
Well, let's discuss the why we know that she's controlling everything, and it's because of the beekeeper.
She was able
because
to turn
she
back.
Knows that she's in this illusion that she's created, and it starts.
I don't think she knows all the time.
Oh, she does.
I agree,
but she doesn't want to know. Let's start with the dinner party, and he starts choking. And S.H.I.E.L.D. wanted that to happen, by the way. Or S.W.O.R.D. wanted that to happen. Because they're like, what do we do? And then she looks at Vision and goes, Vision, do it. She's breaking the fourth wall at that moment. She's like, oh, okay. Comes in and does the thing. And no one mentions a word about it. And then the second one was the beekeeper. This is why I know that she does not. She's not only in the fantasy, she never wants to leave. And I know why, but we'll get to that later. Not today. But because, you know, she saw this. Okay, this is going to ruin the entire fantasy world that we're in. This beekeeper, and I think I know who it is. I'm not positive. I think I know who it is. But so she's like, nope. We're going to rewind time right back to where we're still comfortable. Okay, and now we're going to start from here. We're going to change the script a little bit. Now we're going to go to the 70s and gonna be in color. She is in 100% control, more than you think she's in control of it.
It's sort of... Oh, go ahead.
Chris is about to die.
Like, I'm assuming the beekeeper is someone bad.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you now, because you'll see it. The beekeeper with the hexagon on his back may represent a second faction, which is called AIM. I don't know if you guys remember AIM from Iron Man 3. It was created by Aldrich Killian, the bad guy. That's not the actual, that's not how it really happened in the comic books, but to tie it to the MCU, AIM would have to be that end of it. So that means there are two factions in Wanda's head. There's S.W.O.R.D. and there's AIM. And AIM's not good, Chris. So you're right.
And again, when you when you guys go do your research on what her powers are, this will make a lot more sense. And I would recommend this for all our viewers. If you're not familiar, I think they have a Marvel wiki that will tell you everybody's powers.
Yeah.
And if not, I will put something up on our page because I think it's important to know because her powers are very weird.
Different than. They're really different. Anybody else's in the MCU.
It makes her very powerful, but at the same time, it's a very obscure power. It's very strange how it works. But it's this show wouldn't work with anybody but her in the entire MCU.
So tell me, you were thinking that she's in control sometimes and not sometimes?
I think this show is very reminiscent of there's an episode of Angel where what's his name? I'm blanking on his name, but one of the characters is in hell, and it's a kind of a loop of a perfect world where at the end of it he gets killed every night, and he's aware. Not during the day, it's always during the day, it's kind of this just odd nagging sensation until he's aware of exactly what's going on and then chooses to go back and be in that moment. And so there's that kind of thing where I think she's a little lost in her own fantasy and then occasionally has a remembrance of those moments.
I actually agree with you. And for a lot of the reasons that Duff was saying is because there are moments where, like the radio, where we hear "Help me, Rhonda." She's having a perfect conversation. And then as soon as we hear that voice, which I won't tell everybody who it is unless they want me to.
No, don't. You can guess if you want, Chris, but we're not going to tell you.
Yeah, and then once, when she hears that, then like her whole demeanor changes. And it's the same way when she sees the beekeeper. Like she's fine up until that, and then it's no. And everything goes back, and then she snaps back into it. So I agree with you. I think sometimes she's not aware. And other times she's very aware.
Is the voice
she gets lost in it? I'll tell you later, Chris.
May I make a guess on who? Yeah, it is?
Absolutely.
Fire away. That's what's fun about this.
Is it Ant-Man?
No.
Okay.
It's not Ant-Man. it sounded like Paul Rudd. That was an awesome guess. Yeah, it helps if you know who the actor is. If you could recognize the actor's voice, then you'll be able to figure out who the character is. But that's why I don't want to say who it is, because if people can't recognize the voice, they're not going to make the connection.
And honestly, it's fun to look at the Easter eggs and all that, but it's also, you guys are probably having more fun following it and not knowing. But once you start researching ahead, it's going to take a little bit of the magic away. When you know it's because the When you know it because it's the actor, not because of the story.
So,
I have a question for you guys.
Fire away.
Can I ask real quick? Because you mentioned that everybody is important that's in there. Mm-hmm. I was extremely excited to see Jolene Purdy as Beverly, who was also in The Magicians as one of Dionysus's like a main acolyte. And she only had a few episodes and she was wonderful. And I'm so excited to see her there. And I'm wondering what, do we have any hints as to who she might be?
Beverly, is that the
Which one's Beverly?
She was the front end of the horse in the talent show.
Oh, that's right.
She was also in How I Met Your Mother, by the way.
So we've got all these wonderful repeat actors.
Yeah. No, I don't think. I know she's thought about it, but I don't know, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure about her.
I want her to be a badass. I really do. Personally, I'm rooting for it.
Well,
it's like, don't, we know that
don't get Agnes too attached to any of the characters. Some of them aren't as good as you want them to be.
Yeah, I mean, Agnes is somebody else.
At all. Agnes is somebody else.
Yeah, Herbert is somebody else. Dottie is not. I have a theory about Dottie, but I know it's probably wrong. Dottie is not a character from House of M. So she's going to be somebody that they haven't told us who she is.
It's going to be a wild card.
Yeah. So it'll be very interesting to see who she ends up being.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because she doesn't correlate anywhere to existing characters that we can tell. I mean, there was a Dottie and Agent Carter, but I doubt that that's who it'll end up being. So, because that character was created for Agent Carter.
I have other theories, but I'll talk to you guys afterwards, but I don't want to hit it on the air because I think it's, I have a really cool idea, but I don't want to.
Now, the one thing we haven't touched on is Wanda's pregnant at the end of episode 2. What do we think about that?
Why?
Oh, it's important. It's important.
If there's one thing I've learned tonight, is not everything is what it is, and everything you see is extremely important. So, because Vision's a robot cyborg thing who is basically Jarvis, if right, wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, how does that work?
Magic.
Assuming they are actually a couple.
Magic.
Okay.
She gives birth to the Borg.
It's a fixed point connected. Time. It's not going to happen.
We have just connected universes. Way to go. And their house is really the TARDIS.
That's one thing I noticed too. Like in the first episode, the interior was different. In the second episode, the interior was different. And I'm expecting every episode, it's going to be different on
it
the
looks
inside.
Like that's what's going to happen.
The first house is the Dick Van Dyke house, or it sort of looks like the Dick Van Dyke house. This one is the Bewitched. I feel we're probably going to get like the Brady Bunch house at some point in time.
Definitely. Yeah.
That's what I was going
to say. I feel that may be where they're heading with that.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe like Family Ties for the 80s.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Okay. If the pregnancy is what I think it is, the Brady Bunch would be amazing.
Yeah.
Right, because Wanda and Vision in the comics have a lot of kids.
Oh,
a lot of kids.
This is very important to the House of M story.
Yeah,
very important.
And that's not a spoiler or giving anything else away. If you literally Google Scarlet Witch kids, you'll see like rows and rows of where they name here's all their kids.
Wow, Scarlet and Vision are a fertile bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I thought it was funny for this like futuristic cyborg robot got taken out so easily by a little piece of gum.
That was hilarious.
Oh my gosh, that was hysterical.
And that was great.
The old school animation that went with it was genius.
Well, Paul Bettany is funny.
But you know what the expression was hysterical. That they were working off on that, right? A little something just put a gum in the works.
Gums up my works.
Oh, yep. Yep.
I like where you said I'm funnier without it, or I'm funnier with it.
Yeah, and that is important, by the way.
The gum?
Well, it's not the gum, it's the expression.
Gumming up the works.
Gotcha.
Because it's something very small that changes everything.
I'd forgotten how funny Paul Bettany could be.
Oh my gosh, he was brilliant.
And I was really, really pleased and... Like I'm really enjoying Elizabeth Olsen as the Scarlet Witch.
Is she the most talented Olsen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But I was, you know, I mean, we've seen her do the drama stuff because I'd seen her do other stuff. Like I enjoy Elizabeth Olsen. I didn't realize how funny she was going to be either. Like she's got great Lucy comedic timing in that first episode.
Very, very, very Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah.
Although I definitely felt like, Paul Bettany captivated kind of the acting style of each era a little more specifically. Mm-hmm. And I think there's reason for that because, again, if we're talking about this being her creation, then it would make sense that she's still a little bit herself. If it ends up not being her creation, then I might be like,
She's definitely the strongest person in this world, and she knows
it. Yes.
You can see it with the way she carries herself. She knows that she's the strongest person in this world.
So let's do grades. our standard A's to F's. I don't think we've ever given anything an F before. We might.
We're not going to be watching. We're not going to keep watching it if we give it an F.
Yeah, that's true. So let's give our what you liked about it, and your if you're going to keep watching, which I think all of us are going to, because one, we have to do this show. But two, was it fun? So let's start with Chris. I want to start with Chris.
So, like as I've mentioned several times already, I'm not the biggest Marvel fan. However, I'm totally invested in WandaVision after watching it. I think it's a brilliant concept that every episode takes place in a different era and a different style. I probably missed all the Easter eggs and all their true meaning, but it's just a fun show. So I'm invested. I want to see this to the end. And for episodes 1 and 2, I will give them a collective A-.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice. Miss Satomi?
Well, I've got to be honest, it feels early to give a grade for it because I really feel like these episodes are introductory. I mean, it's really welcome to this world. And I did think that they did that well. I enjoyed myself. I am like Chris, invested and want to see what happens next. But I wasn't like, oh my God, freaking out. But I enjoyed it and am hoping that this is the start of a lovely trek into the unknown. So I will give it a B+.
Nice.
Very good.
Dub.
Okay, now my grade has changed since we started. Initially, this was a C+ for the reasons I said before. Not because I didn't enjoy it, because I enjoyed it, but I was very, very concerned with people that are coming in that don't know anything. Now, with you two, with everything you've said, it's moved it up to a B, because I feel like, although I think you guys aren't getting everything, and that's okay, you're not. I wish they would have made things a little bit more plain, and I'm hoping that they fix that. But I'm giving these two episodes a B, which is good. So if they can continue this, the grade will keep going up. But if it gets more convoluted and that only comic book people get it, it's going to go down really fast. But good. With that being said, I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed these a lot.
I'm going to – basically, you guys covered all the same bases that I was going to talk about. I think it's weird. I think it's wonderful. I hope it does. I hope it clears up stuff for non-comic book people as we go along. I can't wait to see what their adventures are like in each era that they inhabit, because it's been fun up to now. So I'm going to go with an A- like Chris. I'm pretty sure by the end we'll be up to an A+, but we'll wait and see. So I think that's all for WandaVision. So if you have anything to say about what we had to say.
And we missed a lot.
We did miss a lot.
None of us are experts and we didn't want to hit everything.
Yeah. And if we mess something up, or if you feel like we messed something up, tell us about it. Tell us about it on YouTube or Twitter or Facebook or Discord or Patreon or any of these other crazy places that you can find us. Smoke signals. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Comment below. Do it on Facebook or do it on YouTube. We will talk back. We love to do so. And that's a show. And I am Miss Geeky Page. Back to Dub.
And I'm Dub. And we got Satomi and Chris. And you guys are rock stars. Keep on geeking on, guys.
You have been listening to the latest episode of the iHeart Geek Show. Make sure you visit our website at www.iheartgeekshow.com. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you check us out on YouTube, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And keep on geeking on to all of you geek rock stars.